Hey, what's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frotcast, coming to you live from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco. I've got your favorite co-host, future Football Hall of Famer, Brendan.
Hook 'em.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were in Texas this weekend. We'll talk about that. And we got everybody's favorite returning guest, Mr. David Borey.
Hook 'em horns.
That's right.
I want in. I like that.
It's this new. It's a new thing that we're doing.
I like it.
Though I will say, like, I tried to start, like, we're just gonna say hook 'em, especially because, like, our bus driver was really. His name was Jared Lee.
Oh yeah.
And we were just trying to make it where every time he said something, we just go hook 'em. But then, of course, that just evolved into everything being Roll Tide. You can't avoid it.
Roll Tide works better.
It does.
It just sounds so much cooler.
Such a good catch-all. And Roll Tide.
The Tide is cooler than Longhorns anyways. Crimson Tide, that's a cool name.
Yeah. Also, it kind of reminds me of that Chappelle Show sketch where it says White Pride, and it kind of rhymes.
White
and it
Power.
Means, yeah, White Power. And it kind of means the same thing. Really.
Well, Roll Tide is basically White Power.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. White Power.
White Power.
Roll Tide.
Well, we got a great show. We're probably going to get squirrely. We're all actually drinking this time. It's been a few Frotcasts since everyone was drinking. I got a Rob Riggle interview that I'm going to slot in there in a bit. And we're going to talk PCU, which we all saw. But first, we had a question from the actual listeners via voicemail, which we don't get that.
It's a verification that we actually have listeners.
You sound so surprised about it from the actual listeners.
Well, you know.
Not just like your mom or whoever.
Not a lot of people leave voicemails, which I understand. I wouldn't want to leave a voicemail either. I'd rather just do things without talking. Like, I don't like the voice recognition software where you call up someplace and it's like, tell us what number, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, the whole point of technology is so I don't have to talk to people. Now I got to talk to a computer.
Was that the point?
I didn't quite get that.
Yeah, it's just every time. And you just like end up screaming. No matter what the question is, the answer is, fuck you!
Has this whole technology thing been leading to I thought it was to guilt-free fellatio.
Well, it could be both. Well, yeah, you can not actually talk, and you can text your way to a blowjob.
That's a good point. Or OkCupid, tons of guys.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what they're doing in the city now.
You know, I'm better with my fingers than with my tongue.
Oh, shit.
I thought we were all moving towards a future where we could get robo-fucked.
I mean, that's eventually, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how Skynet's going to get us.
Yeah, they're just going to jerk you off and
take
all your money.
Jerk you off and we're going to stop paying attention to everything else.
All right, here's our voicemail.
What's up, fellas? I just finished watching the premiere of the Dumb and Dumber 2 trailer. I immediately thought of Brendan and how disappointed he has to be. It was a shit show. Anyways, love to hear you guys talk about it. Huge fan. My brother listens as well. So, Ty, keep kicking ass. Bye.
I don't know if he said Ty or Todd, but...
I think he said hi.
I think he said hi, yeah.
Hi?
Hi.
No, he's...
Like he's saying hi for his brother to you.
I thought
That's
he said...
That's how I interpreted
yeah.
it.
I thought he said, Ty, keep kicking ass.
Why would he say, Ty, keep kicking ass?
Because his brother's named Ty.
What would that have to do with anything, though?
Because he said, my brother listens, too.
And he kicks ass. I thought y'all should know.
No, he said, so, Ty, keep kicking... He's giving a message... Giving his brother a shout out.
Oh, like you're saying his brother isn't in the room with him.
Right.
Okay.
Like no, his brother's somewhere
they
else.
They live together.
And might be listening to this podcast.
They live together. That's that situation
All right.
for sure.
All right.
Well, I'm glad he thought of me. I haven't, as much as I love the original Dumb and Dumber, I don't think I've been like a vocal aficionado, so I'm not sure why he was thinking of me in particular, but he's absolutely correct. I was very disappointed, as
well,
were all of us.
There's a weird disconnect between the logic where you like Dumb and Dumber, therefore you should like seeing 250-year-old men do the same jokes in a movie today.
Sure.
Exactly. And I don't like that. Had their careers kept skyrocketing, this movie would be awesome.
Yeah, well...
Like, nobody wants to see Rush Hour 6 because Chris Tucker is crazy now.
Crazy!
Crazy! You don't want... Why do I want to see Jim Carrey? What? In the pussy joke was on point, though, I will say. That was pretty funny. There's dust on his hand instead of... That's hilarious still.
Here's my... Like, I don't... I'm not against seeing a Jim Carrey or a Jeff Daniels movie. I just don't understand, like, the part where, like, in the first movie, he sprays Binaca and he blinds the guy. In this one, he just sprays Binaca to the side. There's, like, no point to that gag other than to remind you of something that happens 20 years ago. And in doing that, isn't it just, like, sort of the sad echo of this thing that you liked when you were 13?
Well, it's along the same lines of what we talked about last week, which is, like, Once Upon a Time, or no, Million Ways to Die in the West, right?
Yeah.
He walks in a barn, and there's Doc Brown with the DeLorean.
What?
And he goes, what's going on here? And he says nothing, and then he leaves.
That's what that movie is?
That's not a joke. There's just
it was,
like...
There was a scene in like that.
I thought it was Blazing Saddles, too. I didn't even...
I mean, most of it is.
All right.
But that's not a joke. It's just like, hey, here's the thing.
Yeah. Also, like, when you remind somebody of another thing, and that thing's much better, doesn't it... I mean, isn't that reflect bad on you?
Well, all that's every satire movie that the Wayans brothers did,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah.
I sort of appreciate those in their own just completely bonkers way.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't the, first get two, the first two scary movies.
The first two
bad.
Scary movies
but
were
But did
funny.
You see like Epic Movie and like Date Movie?
Those aren't Wayans brothers, are they?
I
no,
assumed.
Not really.
Really?
They're like, I
it's
think,
the same font. That's how they got
yeah.
me.
Yeah, well, the two guys that write those started Seltzer on Freiberg. Scary. We're like the fourth and fifth writer on Scary Movie.
Okay.
And then they did all the sequels, and then they started doing all those other shitty ones.
Oh.
Seltzer and Freiberg, they're the worst.
You know their names.
Yeah.
Short guys? They seem like short guys.
He writes about probably. Them a lot.
You write
about They're pretty much just like the death of comedy.
That's debatable, right? It's all the death of comedy. What's the birth of comedy?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's just I watched that Dumb and Dumber trailer, and then I have to see the comments on it, and they just make me really sad.
Is it people just fucking stoked?
Yeah, where they're like
in their mom's basement. Yeah,
I'll read you a couple comments all off of Facebook, because Facebook is like the cesspool filled with bog people. one comment: I enjoyed it. This should be a solid recovery for the Farrelly Bros. I have to be honest, I had to watch it twice as I couldn't stop laughing the first time and I missed half the jokes.
he missed half the jokes. It's called Dumb and Dumber.
I'm still gonna see it, lol.
Well, that's funny because there's a defensive position in there. Like, I'm still gonna see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. But he's also laughing, which indicates that he thinks it's funny.
Couldn't disagree more. These criticisms are very similar to what was being said about the original when it came out.
Cite your source.
What criticism can you have other than it's fucking dumb? There's nothing.
There's a very specific criticism. There's a difference between a dumb joke and a dumb joke that I've already heard. I'm down for a dumb joke.
I bet you they're gonna wear orange and blue tuxes.
Oh yeah, that's the problem because it's. Dude, I'm down for a fart joke, but don't do the same fart joke. That's a fart joke I've already heard. That's the beauty of fart jokes, is they're really easy to make one.
That's true, so there's so many.
Yeah.
You can at least step it up to a shark joke. Right? Like, the stakes should be higher.
You don't even have to call it Dumb and Dumber. Call it, like, fucking dudes at the retirement home or whatever. I mean, I don't know. Like, it can be the same concept of two guys that are dumb.
Yeah, I never saw Ted, but one of my friends told me about it, and he actually liked it because he likes stupid movies. And he said, he's like, yeah, I don't think you would like it. You'd probably just be annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, there's one part you'd really like, though, and he told me about a scene where Joel McHale is on a date with Mila Kunis, and she walks away. Like, I think he pisses her off, and she walks away, and then he just cuts a huge fart. That's a great fart joke.
Yeah,
because I just saw that movie. It was good.
We've all had the date fart. Mm-hmm.
It's true. It's not a reference to something else. It's not a ripoff of something else.
Right.
Cool. I'm down with that.
That's a fart joke that I can get behind.
Here's another comment. I'm disliking this page because of the inability to enjoy anything.
The what page? Your page?
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
This is a comment on what the YouTube...
On the Dumb and Dumber post. The post about the Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, so this is on Film Drunk.
Yeah, yeah. On the Facebook
page.
Wait,
can you read that again?
I'm disliking this page because of the inability to enjoy anything.
That's
a personal problem.
He has the inability to enjoy anything. I mean, because that sounds like he needs to get it checked out. Because,
no.
Yeah.
He's saying that about... us, because I didn't like
right, but his grammar is incorrect.
Yeah. He's also an ordained minister at Universal Life Church.
He makes it sound like he's having, well, that's he's probably correct then, and that he has an inability to enjoy anything.
Yeah, God.
And to retort to that,
that's what he does, right?
Like, if you can't draw a distinction between inability to enjoy anything and inability to enjoy Dumb and Dumber fucking 2, you have a serious problem with right. that. Like, also,
oh, if you can't enjoy this trailer, I bet you don't enjoy anything.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Was that how you wrote the article?
No, I was just like, I can't figure out what about this is so sad. I just know that it's very sad. And there's like just an air of desperation throughout the whole thing.
It does seem very desperate.
It is. It has to be a money grab, right?
Oh, of course.
I'm sure they've pitched this project over in the 20 ensuing years. Of course they've pitched it a million times.
Yeah. And the fact that people are cheerleading it, I honestly think is like one of the problems with society. Not to be too hyperbolic, but let's be honest. The fact that people will not only enjoy things that they've already seen before, but that they feel self-righteous about the fact that they want to see something super familiar, like, well, that bugs the shit out of me.
And the problem is that it's all nostalgia-based. You don't love Dumb and Dumber. You love getting high and trying to get a hand job from your 13-year-old girlfriend while Dumb and Dumber is playing. You don't fucking
love that. You love your own youth.
Yeah, you don't fucking love that movie like that. You've been waiting 20 years on pins and needles, you piece of shit. I just don't like the internet very much.
Also, who sees Dumb and Dumber and they're like, man, you know what? I need to see the same exact thing over
again. We need
again.
To expand. Their story has not been told.
This universe needs to. We should create a Marvel style universe out of Harry and Lloyd.
They did already, though. There was the other movie. Where
actually, that would be better than just redoing Harry and Lloyd. At least, the next one would be like, oh, the kid with the parrot and the fucking the wheelchair grew up.
But it looks like that's what they're doing because Freda Felcher was in the first movie. Remember where they're like, Freda Felcher from Cranston? She told me the whole sleazy story, Mr. French Tickler. And then that's who they said in the trailer was pregnant.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Who's played by Kathleen Turner. Who looks like a linebacker now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm into it still.
She looks like a boxer.
She got a thick neck.
A boxer dog.
Keep you safe.
But she also looks like she's been punched in the face repeatedly.
She could take a whooping.
Hey, man, maybe she has.
Hashtag yes all women. I don't want to get into that. I'm sorry. That was
I just let that sit there.
Yeah, you just gotta. That was my bad.
Well, it doesn't
matter.
Lindy West doesn't come on here anymore. So
does she not? That's too bad. She does my podcast all the time.
Oh,
yeah. You fucker.
Yeah. Did I fuck her?
No. You are a fucker.
Oh,
she did that. She dumped us for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was gonna happen sooner or later.
Yeah, that's true. Well, all right, so I'm going to slot in the Rob Riggle interview for you guys. I'm not going to make these guys listen to it, but, you know, just for the record, I made him laugh with the first question, so I'm pretty much a badass.
Wait, is Rob Riggle, I realize now that I thought it was Dom DeLuise. So actually, I don't
know. It would be awesome if you made him laugh with you made Dom DeLuise laugh with the first question. He's like,
yeah, I thought you were going to do
like at the end of Cannonball Run 2, where he's like,
I thought you did a candid camera joke or something. And he was like, oh, people remember me.
Yeah.
But I don't know who Rob Riggle
is. That's a great Chris Farley sketch where they're like, where he's Dom DeLuise and he smushes the pie on Burt Reynolds, which is Norm MacDonald's crotch, and then laughs so hard he pees his pants.
I don't remember that one.
In Best of Chris Farley where they're just having a bunch of really quick clips. And I can't remember who it is. It's Norm MacDonald playing Burt Reynolds and someone else, and Chris Farley dresses Dom DeLuise, walks up with like two cream pies and smushes them both. Well, he walks up between them, smushes them both on the crotch of them, and then he wiggles his fingers like in front of his stomach, goes, and then he's wearing khakis, and then it's very clear that he's urinating his khakis.
I bet, knowing Chris Farley, I bet he actually peed his pants.
He may have actually just peed his pants.
Almost guaranteed.
That dude was method, which is way sadder for comedy than it is for drama. I really pissed my pants.
Yeah. You're like, oh.
Nobody could tell.
I went out into the woods and built a cabin so I could pretend to be a person from the Revolutionary War. Well, I peed my pants and threw up some cake. all right.
That was a good time.
That's why improv people rule, though, because they'll do that.
I can't get behind that position.
They'll do that for their art.
Should we toss to the Riggle interview?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the good segue to that is that I believe Rob Riggle is the person in the Dumb and Dumber 2 trailer who gets attacked with the fire.
I thought that was him.
I'm pretty sure that's him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't ask him about that because this interview took place like 6 or 7 days ago, but it's pretty good nonetheless.
Hello.
Rob, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. How many interviews is this for you today?
Oh, we're getting up into, I don't know if we're double digit or not yet. I think we probably are. It's just starting in the double digits.
All right. Well, I hope you're really, really bored for me.
Oh, no way. I'm ready to go.
All right. First question. A lot of people say that comedy is a defense mechanism or a way to compensate for not fitting in. What do you think it is that's broken inside you that you're trying to fill with laughter?
I love the easy questions right out of the gate. honestly, I think I started turning to humor when I was in junior high, and everybody around me went through puberty and became big and strong, and I stayed small and weak and was scared all the time because I was afraid I was going to get beat up. So I think I turned to comedy as a defense mechanism to keep people smiling, and when they're smiling, they're not punching.
Right.
So I think that was my turn. Other than that, I've been blessed with a pretty emotionally healthy life.
It's kind of ironic that you're sort of the big manly man of comedy now, if you got into it for being the small guy.
I know, isn't that I think all my prayers got answered at once. I just turned into this big beast all of a sudden.
On that note, being that you know, you're a Marine and stuff, and you seem to get offered a lot of the sort of manly man kind of gigs, like with the NFL and Craftsman. Have you been offered any kind of gigs based on people thinking you're a manly man that you've had to turn down, or like they weren't quite you?
Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of the characters I play are not me, quote, right. You know, I mean, per se, you know, I play a heightened version of authority figures. And I've met many, many authority figures in my life. So I just take those people that I've met, I blow them out the roof. Playing characters with arrogant ignorance to me is always funny. I just think it's a very funny way to do it. So I end up playing a lot of those roles. Every now and then you get, you know, some that are not funny and that are, you know, just not what I want to do. And I'm lucky enough now where I actually get to sometimes, but I decide, you know, that maybe I won't do that.
Right. I got to interview Rob Hubel at Comic-Con a few years back, and I know you guys have done a lot of stuff together. Having known him for a few years, what is the worst thing that you've ever seen him do?
Gosh darn it. The sincere, honest answer is nothing. He's just a really good guy. The comedy answer is probably I watched him do some sort of tap dance show with like Rob Blagojevich or something like that. But no, I don't have anything bad. I've never seen him do anything bad. The guy's just a good dude.
Blagojevich, that's a deep pull.
Actually, that is something I'd like to see.
Okay. We'll put that down for upcoming projects. Did you know that comedy was going to be like a full-time career?
Let's see, probably when I got on Saturday Night Live. That was my first job ever. And it was, you know, it was a lot to get that as your first job ever. So, but I had a feeling that I could probably, hopefully, fingers crossed, make a living, doing comedy at that point. And I wouldn't have to necessarily have a day job. But I say that, and at the same time, after SNL, there was a little gap there. There was a year gap between that and The Daily Show. And then I remember auditioning for The Daily Show, and I thought I had blown the audition. And I remember thinking, okay, well, that didn't go well. I can always go back on active duty. I was still in the reserves at the time, and I thought, you know what, I'll go back on active duty. They need people right now, and so I was prepared to go back, but I got the job, as it turned out, so I didn't have to go back on active duty. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. Does having a military background to sort of fall back on, did that sort of keep you from having to do the kind of...
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt you. The worst thing I think Cubel ever did when he got up at the Grammys or the MTV Awards and he took that award away from Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. That was a big scandal.
That was the worst thing I think I've seen him do.
Did having a military career to sort of fall back on, did that keep you from having to do the usual kind of crappy part-time jobs that people have when they're sort of coming up in comedy, like waiting tables or temping or whatever?
I guess it did. It was, for many years I was on active duty here in New York. So I would do the Marines during the day. And then every night I would go down to the UCB Theater, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, and do comedy. And even if I wasn't doing comedy, I would go down there and do the lights and sound, do the tech for other people's show, just so I could be around the theater, so I could meet other people and watch other shows and kind of, get plugged in a little bit to the New York comedy scene.
And how is it that you ended up, was you getting stationed in New York and being able to be on active duty there, was that hard to do? It doesn't seem like the normal place that people end up.
No, it's a small office. It's a little public affairs office here in New York. Every branch of the service has one. It's like a little four-man office. That's it. We do public affairs work in the city. And it was actually, a pretty regular job. Now, during that time, obviously, the headquarters, Marine Corps, called me and asked me to deploy. So I ended up going to Albania and Kosovo during that time. I also, when I was in the reserves, I got called back up. I went to Afghanistan. So there were interruptions during my training or comedy, development time. But it was all worth it. It's all worth it.
Mm-hmm. Was going into the public affairs angle of it, was that something that you did, based on having that sort of theater and background and that sort of thing?
Well, yeah, I started as a pilot for the Marine Corps. I had a guaranteed flight contract. I had my pilot's license when I was an undergrad,
mm-hmm.
and I got a guaranteed flight contract with the Marine Corps. So I started as a pilot. But when when you pin your wings on, they own you for 8 years, at that point you're probably you're already in for 2-3 years before you get your wings. So you're looking at being in for 11 years. You're not going to retire at that point. You're probably going to see your career out, and so I was looking down the barrel of 20 years, which at the time I didn't necessarily want to do. I wanted to, at some point in my life, I knew I wanted to pursue comedy and acting.
Right.
So that's when I stopped flying and became a ground officer.
Very cool. So you got 22 Jump Street. You're in that coming out this summer. I think when we left you at the end of the last one, you had gotten your dick shot off.
This is true. I can't tell you. I'd like to just say for the record, that was my character, Coach Walters, that it happened to.
Right.
Me, Robert, I'm fine. Everything's working great.
Not too bad.
I can't tell you how many drunks come up to me at bars or wherever and go, "Hey, man, you got your dick shot off." And I have to remind them that it's just a character.
Right. That's your cross to bear. But without getting too spoilery, I mean, what's the, where are we going to see the evolution of that character going in this next one?
You will meet Coach Walters again. And this time he's in prison. And some hilarity ensues that you do not want to miss out on. So go check it out next week. It comes out June 13th.
It looks like you got your eyebrows waxed for that part. Was I seeing things in the trailer?
You might have been seeing things. There's been no waxing.
No waxing
of the eyebrows.
So you're just a very clean man up there.
That's right. Prison changes men.
Okay. I think I was supposed to let you go after 10. We're running up on time. How are we on time?
One more question. If you want to talk about Craftsman, that'd be great. And then we're good to go.
Sure. Yeah. Tell us about that, the Craftsman Father's Day thing that you're doing.
Yeah. It's called a make-cation, like a staycation, mm-hmm. but it's a 4-day man camp. It's like a fantasy man camp. It's going to take place out of Lake Arrowhead in California. They're bringing in experts in all kinds of different fields. Woodworking, survival skills, grill, how to work a grill, how to make your own whiskey. Just like any man skill you could imagine, this is the place to go learn it all from experts. With real hands-on experience. And it's just a cool thing, I think. When they asked me if I wanted to get involved with it, I said yes, mainly because I wanted to go myself. It sounded like something I would love to do. My man skills are not like my dad's. My dad had real man skills. I have none. So I figured this would be a good chance and a good way to learn some of those man skills. And all you got to do is go to craftsmanmakecation.com, mm-hmm. and you can win tickets to go, or you can actually buy tickets. So it makes for a nice gift, for your husband or your dad or whoever the man in your life is that's lacking man skills. I'll be there. I'll be out there. It's going to be a good time.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks for talking to me.
You bet. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks.
Well, I hope you guys liked that interview that these guys didn't hear, but I thought it was good.
Me too.
I peed my pants and threw up cake.
Yeah, I'm kind of angry that I couldn't get him to say anything bad about Rob Hubel.
Man, I met Rob Hubel the other day. He's like the nicest guy.
I know, he's awesome. He was like I think he was the first.
Yeah, he was like on the first podcast.
I think he's the first celebrity interview on this podcast.
It's hard with him because he's that guy who's like handsome, but just like dick handsome. Yeah. Like he looks like a dick, but he's pretty handsome. That guy's 8, right?
I also have this thing where. We were talking about improv, but I swear, like, I can't tell if improv people are being genuinely nice to me or if they're just, like, they're just fucking yes-anding me with everything.
Today, I'm going to pretend I'm being nice to you.
No, like, I've never, like, almost every improv person I've met is just, like, super nice, but I can't tell if they're just like that with everyone or if they're
You know what I found about improv people? This is my serious opinion, is that improv does not come from a dark place. So you think they're going to be stand-ups and they're just going to be... pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And then they all like dress nice and genuinely care about your feelings. And you're like, what the fuck is this? You're a fucking hack.
There's like girls around. Like stand up is just a bunch of angry dudes in hoodies. Yeah. And then
smoking
like,
12 cigarettes a night.
Yeah. And then like you go to an improv and there's like cute girls running around.
Yeah,
and everybody's having fun.
People seem like they're having sex with each other.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to do a stand up show where it seemed like people were having sex with each other. Even the audience. Nobody's fucking. Just sad, man.
I at my work they had like a bunch of classes. There was like this sort of directive, of, like let's offer extra classes, like
at work.
Well, it's basically like after work. Like they start at 5 o'clock, but you could take a class on like learning how to code or like something like that. And then one of them was like improv, and someone's like, "Hey, do you want to like? I really need people to do this improv class. Like people don't want to sign up for it. Like, do you want to do it?" And I was like. Like, all right, maybe like I can make some fun out of this. I've watched a lot of Whose Line Is It Anyway, like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's all you need.
And it ended up just being really awkward, shy people who were taking it to like come out of their shell. So I was like, I was like trying to make jokes and stuff, and she kept getting all mad at me because she's like, no, this is inclusive. We don't want to make anyone feel self-conscious, like all this stuff. And I was like,
what kind of pussy
it was so boring. I was like trying to make jokes the whole time and I kept getting
I hate it when adults make you think everything's supposed to be fair.
Yeah.
Children, you should play and you get an equal juice box, but when a grown up tries to tell you what?
Did you say juice box?
It did sound like it's a juice box.
Does it sound like juice box? I'm pretty stoned, man. Still gonna work.
No, just power through it.
Yeah, just power through. I just don't like. I like improv. It bothers me that it's so clean.
Yeah,
improv with like actual comedy people is what you need. But the thing is, like,
but then it just turns into stand-ups jerking off.
Yeah, but like it's better than so many improv people are very like. Yeah, they're more like drama people. They're more like theater people. Than
well,
they
a
are.
Lot of times they are ex-theater people.
Right. Well, yeah. Sorry, they're not like they are.
Yeah, they are. That, those do.
And they're just like comedy isn't where their brain goes. So it's like, and funny things can kind of happen, but it's sort of in spite of what they're doing.
Well, that's kind of the way improv has to be. Is you can't go for like the joke on every single thing. You sort of have to like follow the story through and then find it. You know. Like give yourself something to call back to, you know?
Right.
I just don't like whimsy in general, so I hate having to watch a bunch of adults be like, "We're on a spaceship made of nipples." Fucking shut up.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think about the NASDAQ. That's not, that was a bad example. But about something that's not fucking the magical bus trolley or whatever the hell you're doing.
I have this thing where I have like no interest in it and it terrifies me to even think about, but I kind of want to do it because I feel like it would just make me better as a person.
Did you, like...
Just in general, being, like, comfortable, you know,
this
around people.
This is improv
people.
Right now.
Yeah, but this is, like, I'm not playing a character.
Do you want to?
Let me pretend I'm a goat. Well, no, we were just talking about Adam Sandler, but...
From now on, you're a Pakistani made of eyeballs. finish the podcast.
I see everything.
See, that was good.
Or you can be
I
like,
am human drone.
When Carl,
that was more Russian.
When but. Carl in Aqua Teen gets turned into like all the eyeballs, he's just like, ow.
See, that's a guy who can get behind is Carl.
Carl.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not into improv. Or I respect it. It's just, I'm a piece of shit. It's just like anything else that I can't do. If we were talking about architects, I'd have the same... I basically anything but stoners and comedians, I'm going to be like, oh, fuck that.
I think it's just improv is very much a, you know, they thumb their... Like when comedians look at their live, it just looks obnoxious and way happier.
Yeah, that's the problem because they don't snub.
They're
comedians
without self-loathing.
Yeah.
Is what
like,
they
what
are.
The fuck? Why are you so comfortable with yourself, you asshole?
Where's the fun in that? And you can't get introspective on improv. Like,
right.
You're never going to come up on improv and be like, honestly, I pissed my pants and I don't know where I'm going as an adult.
Way fewer improv people die in hotel rooms, you know?
Yeah. Or piss their pants, I feel. Yeah.
I mean, other than, I guess, Chris Farley. But
oh, he was improv. And Belushi was improv.
Yeah.
Where'd he die?
I guess Second City is all improv, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
So actually, a lot of people I love, because I love the shit out of like Dan Aykroyd.
But I think that's more the exception than the rule. Like a more
well, and I
like
think
a
that's
comedy
the,
improv troupe is more the exception than the rule.
And that's like the improv, like that's like the Goodfellas of improv.
Right,
right,
right.
Like,
right.
Yeah. They make
else,
it look good.
Yeah, everybody else. This is like the Crips fellas. Nobody cares about that shit.
So shifting gears slightly. There was a news story this past week about this woman who filed for divorce supposedly because her husband didn't like the movie Frozen. Mm-hmm. And so this led us into a topic of deal breaker movies.
Okay.
Where like what sort of movie opinion is a deal breaker for you? And that's going to be, that's our next writer's room topic. I'll read you PFT commenter's entry because
nice.
I know we all like PFT commenter and it's really funny. PFT commenter, Rudy. I'm not a movie guy, I'm more of a film type guy. When I'm talking about All 22, I'm not talking about the male cast of the new Sasha Gray picture or whatever I'm talking about seeing. I'm talking about seeing what shows up on tape after NFL Sunday. That said, I'm pretty tolerant of whatever taste in movies my date slash escort slash stranger girl sitting next to me in a movie that I'm trying to make out with has. With one exception, Rudy. Rudy is Rocky for people who think Sylvester Stallone was too ethnic and flashy. They basically adapted a Dropkick Murphys song into a screenplay and made the main character short instead of drunk. Rudy wasn't the biggest guy, but he wanted it so much. It goes to show you that in sports you don't have to be big, strong, or good to be good at football. You just have to be an average white guy who's not afraid to speak his mind. If you don't like Rudy, well, there's the door. But to be honest, by the time my shirts come off and they see my Rudinger 45 jersey tattooed on my back, it's too late for them to really say anything about it. So bad, so sad for them. Rudy's the one movie I've seen that makes me cry, come, and fight all in the span of 2 hours. And by God, if that doesn't sound like the perfect first date, this was probably never going to work out between us anyways.
What kind of a Pennywise Milktoast person thinks Rocky was too ethnic or flashy.
That's the, he's in
it's,
character.
It's shtick.
Oh.
He's in character as the
well, then this guy
the
is awesome.
The terrible commenters on sports sites.
Oh, well, then this guy's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. That guy's that was fucking
he's,
hilarious.
He's very genius.
Yeah, because I thought he was, I thought, I love Rocky, so I can't like.
Oh, really?
Man, of course I love fucking Rocky.
All right.
You don't love, you don't
it's
love
the black guy wins at the end.
It, well, that. First of all, in the first movie, yeah. And just, it's great. They fucking yeah. Remember when it was us versus Russia? Oh, I love that
well,
shit.
Well, that's Rocky IV. I'm definitely, yeah.
It's definitely in its own class.
Yeah.
You don't think that's in what? So what's the real?
That counts. I mean, yeah. That counts.
I mean, that Cole Clubber lying debacle is kind of weird. But other than that, yeah. I fucking love the shit out of
I mean, I don't think I would not date a girl if she didn't like Rocky. So I don't know if that that's not a deal breaker. But yeah, you know, I'm into
Yeah, because that's like, that's for me. Like, I wasn't going to watch it with you anyways, girl. You know what I mean? I was going to watch it, like, alone after a friend died or something. Like, just, we're going to make it.
I was going to get myself pumped up to go out on the date.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to get myself excited about pretending like I'm going to start exercising tomorrow. Rocky's what I throw on.
Yeah. So my, I don't know, like, it's you could go two ways where, I don't know if there's movies where if you don't like it, I don't know if I could date you. I'm trying to think of movies that are like that, but I definitely think... like I'll accept it if a girl likes Love Actually, just because so many chicks like that stupid ass movie. But
is that the British one?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, that movie was adorable.
It is the British one.
Yeah, you know? But if she likes that scene where the dude stands outside of Keira Knightley's apartment and he's got the stupid cue cards so that her husband can't hear, if she thinks that scene is legitimately romantic, I think that's a deal breaker. Because I mean.
Wait, so the deal breaker is for what she likes, not what she doesn't like.
It can be either way.
Okay, it's 50-50. Okay.
Yeah. You can go either way. As I was saying, you can go either way with it.
Okay.
Definitely for something that she likes, I'm going that scene in Love Actually. Because, I mean, the basis of that scene is like, you know what? If you just liked a girl from afar and you didn't say anything and she married your best friend, fuck it, man. You got to do something crazy to get her back.
Which never, I've never done a crazy thing to get a woman that worked ever, especially
exactly.
back.
Yeah,
it's such a shitty thing that movies invented. You should stop talking to her. You're a creep. You're the reason that women are afraid of stalkers if you do something crazy to get her back.
Well, that entire movie is just about some guy, about a series of guys who liked some girl from afar, and instead of you actually talking to her, they just sort of were creepy about it, and then one day they came up with this brilliant plan to, like, you know, cum her name on a fucking Zeppelin, and like that's somehow gonna...
That was a statement. That's what was kicking around in your brain as far as an idea?
Well, I just think,
cum her name on a Zeppelin?
I mean, wouldn't that be awesome, though? I mean,
There's not that much cum in me.
If that scene was in there, I probably would like the movie more.
It would work if your name was like TJ. I'm David.
I mean, J and a T, there's still some volume in there.
That's a lot of... That's more than I'm squirting.
If it was like RW, and that's a lot of lines and two letters right
there.
It
should be just J. Yeah. If your name was J, if you have like a one syllable name... Chet, I probably could do.
V.I., Lenin.
Yeah.
Lenin's up there just coming on Zeppelins.
But Vladimir Ilyanov or whatever? Yeah,
Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov.
She's like, no, he didn't do a whole name.
No, he not have enough G's for me.
He's not good.
I have high capacity.
I just think that Love Actually scene is the perfect antithesis of what we're talking about liking about Casablanca.
Right.
Because like the whole... message of Casablanca. It's like sort of the mature love movie where it's like, hey man, you guys had your thing. I know you're in love with her, but she's actually married to this war hero. So maybe you just walk off into the sunset with your buddy and let shit be.
Right.
Whereas Love Actually, it's like, nah man, go break up that dude's marriage.
Yeah, and I actually was having a conversation with some friends about a person that Vince and I both know, and she's just like she's lived her life according to like all these whims, and it's just like her life has been this sequence of like falling in love with one person to another, and now that we're like all in our 30s, I said something like, that girl is not gonna settle until she finds like a fucking romance novel of a relationship. Yeah. And it's not gonna happen. She's gotta get real.
Along came Polly.
Yeah.
I'm really good at rom-coms.
Yeah.
I love them, to be honest with you.
Along Came Polly. That's the classic Free Spirit teaches
Free Spirit. She taught him how to live.
That's right.
Yeah.
He taught her how to live smart.
Ooh. Is that on the poster?
No, that's just on my heart.
Oh.
One thing I remember is Philip Seymour Hoffman in that movie just being pretty miscast because you could tell they wanted him to play Jack Black.
I thought he was awesome.
Really?
I just felt like he was trying so hard to be Jack Black. And I love Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's just my favorite role of
his. I fucking loved him in that movie.
Where he's like talking about the pizza and blotting the pizza and he's
Or when he's in that elevator and he's just like, I'm so fucking horny. It's just apropos of nothing.
Maybe it's just I'm just down to watch Philip Seymour Hoffman do anything, and when he's playing against type, I just kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, especially when he was playing basketball too, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Raindrops, that's great. that's all I want to see is a weird, pasty guy make it rain.
Yeah. And he did.
He didn't make one shot, I don't think.
Yeah, well. It was still funny.
He was great. I don't know.
Wasn't as good as Prince playing basketball. That's one of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
That was underrated, right?
Oh.
It was. I think that's better than Rick James.
I do too. I think that, like, that and the Black White Supremacist are my two favorite Chappelle sketches.
Yeah, man. I don't understand why everybody loved the Rick James thing so much.
Because it was amazing.
I mean, it was good.
Compared to Prince, though?
Yes.
Rick James doesn't even do anything. Have you listened to Rick James, like, recently?
Dead, man.
Well, I mean, have you gone back through his catalog?
Yeah, I watched both of those, actually, quite recently.
No, I mean his music.
Oh, his music? No, not really.
Does he have other songs besides Super Freak?
Give It to Me, Baby is just about him coming home shithoused and being like, let's still bang. Like, that's what he was. Well, I get, now that I say that's endears me to him.
Look, I'm not saying anything against the Rick James sketch. It's pretty good.
It is.
Well,
great.
His music is irrelevant to liking or disliking the sketch.
You're right.
That sketch was more popular because it had a catchphrase, I think.
Yeah.
I think so. If Prince had had a recurring theme, I think it would have been. Because that Prince one was so. They were running plays called Computer Blue. That's hilarious.
Darling Picky.
Yeah. Oh, come on. That's so clever. And then they were shirts and blouses.
Yeah.
And Prince was flying. Oh, man. That's good, man.
Prince got a new guitar. She fine as a motherfucker. Yeah.
And that was Mickey Free. And then they went in and made us waffles. Yeah.
Here's your pancakes, bitches.
Like, I mean, it's all great.
He said the whole thing was true except for the pancakes.
Really? I bet. I bet Prince is so good at basketball.
Yeah, he was like an all-state point guard in Minnesota.
Was he really?
Yeah. In Minneapolis?
I heard an interview with Charlie Murphy where he actually said that the dress-up thing was false. They actually had like basketball clothes to wear.
Yeah.
But he was like, and then someone's like, so really, you're trying to say that Prince can pull off all those moves? And he's like, listen, man, all I'm saying is for pretty much all the 80s, he was doing backflips off the amplifiers. He didn't never miss one concert because of a sprained ankle.
Boom. That's solid.
I mean, he can shred, so you know he's got some dexterity.
Yeah, he can shred.
But does dexterity lead to like English on the ball? Is that like a through line?
I mean, I don't know. I think there might be some.
Like they're
tie-in.
Two pretty separate skill sets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the reason people learn to shred is because they can't ball, usually, right?
I think rhythm and having some sort of athletic coordination kind of go together.
I don't think so, man.
I think if you can, I think drumming and athleticism.
I'm saying I will beat everybody in the Fleet Foxes at one-on-one right now, is what I'm saying.
I said rhythm.
They play music.
Yeah.
I can't count
four
times.
There's not a lot
of
a beat.
All right, that's fair. It's just like, it's floaty.
Yeah, there's too much atmospheric. I don't think Sigur Rós is going to be like fucking.
You already are deeper into the Fleet Foxes than I've ever gone. <Yeah.
laughs> I couldn't hum you a Fleet Foxes song.
I don't even know what it is. I just know it's just a band that is hilarious.
It's a name that sounds indie.
It's my go-to for when white people say like, okay, Jamal, that's what I say. Like, you don't listen to the Fleet Foxes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it fucking means, but it invokes that usually.
And it does it well.
Yeah.
If I may say.
I don't need to listen to them.
No.
It's better this way.
So any deal breaker movies for either of you guys?
Man.
That's a tough.
Like, my mind immediately kind of wants to go to like maybe something a little more obscure where I'm like, this really speaks to me in a certain way. And if someone can't appreciate this, but then I'm like, no, that's fucking stupid. Probably just something that's really good. And there's only a few movies that are like, it's like Knives Out if you don't think they're good.
I mean, not like appreciating Big Lebowski would be like a hard.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. I mean,
people don't, by the way.
What if someone said, you know what? Goodfellas just isn't a good movie.
Yeah, see, fuck that.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't even know how to. What would you even say to someone?
Yeah, that'd be hard.
I mean, if they were like on the tip of like the book was better, I would get that. But if they were just like, nah.
Yeah, I don't get this
one. No, I just didn't like that movie.
What? Sometimes I read feminist blogs because, you know, I want to know what everybody's doing. Yeah. And there's like a big, a sizable group of women who think that the Big Lebowski is like for douchebags.
Really?
Which blows my mind because I don't even know a thing that's wrong with that movie. Like, I can honestly not think of a thing that's wrong with that movie.
It's sort of above criticism in my mind. It's sort of like...
That's what I thought.
It's one of those movies that you can analyze, but not really just sort of... Like, there's too much going on to be like, oh, I didn't like this aspect of it.
Right. Yeah, it's perfect.
It's like mythology.
Yeah, I don't, but yeah, people don't like it. So it's everything.
There's a lot of old stuff that it's easy to be like, well, this was, because a lot of old stuff is sexist as fuck, even if it is good. Right. But that doesn't necessarily mean it
was
prevents
the
you from liking
sexist?
It.
I mean, like,
no, I don't
she
think
had
so.
All the power. Not Bunny, but what's her name?
No, they're buffoons the entire
and
time.
Also, yeah, and also to mention, even if you wanted to attack it as anti-feminist or misogynist, it's kind of like, it's actually similar to, we've talked about this before, True Detective, when people were accusing True Detective of misogyny or just not having enough female characters, where it's like, well...
I think that was somewhat fair.
Somewhat, but also when you think about it, The Big Lebowski is a film noir. They wanted it to be a Raymond Chandler novel. So like you're always going to have like the femme fatale, but to your point the whole time, yeah, the guys, it's so clear the guys are just complete idiots. And
she was the only one who had any control of anything in that entire movie.
Yeah.
Even Bunny didn't have any control.
I don't think you can fall back on like the genre. I hate when people use the genre trope as like an excuse, unless you're like satirizing it somehow. But if you're just like, oh, that's the genre, it's like, well, okay.
Well, that's 50-50. Like if I thought up a story and it was about women and it was all women, like I don't want any men in my story because that's not the story I wrote.
Yeah,
you know what
and
I mean.
That's acceptable.
Yeah, I can't think of I don't have a good movie to.
Yeah,
you know, I just watched The League of Their Own. That movie's great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's no crying in baseball.
Oh, God, you feel so warm when it ends.
It's a great movie.
It is so good
because they sing the song at the end.
I don't know what song they sing, but it's just you feel when she comes to the baseball game and she sees all of them, mm-hmm. You're like, oh, that's Madonna.
I married a plastic surgeon.
And you're just like, oh, yeah, somebody does say that.
Yeah.
But other than
that.
She
looks all good still.
You're just like, oh, man, this is such a, they stepped up to America. They stepped up for America.
Yeah.
In a time when women, oh, man, that movie.
Pretty good movie.
So I guess that's my deal breaker.
All right. Not liking League of Their Own?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Friday.
All right. That's a good one.
But more League of Their Own. I got to keep it real. I was going to like pretend we were like, yeah, Friday. But no, if you don't like League of Their Own, I think we can't like hang out a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want that to be how I'm remembered from guests. No, yeah, fuck it. Actually, I stand behind my tastes. A League of Their Own. That's what I'm going with.
All right,
no,
stay with it,
no,
man.
Wait, no. You know what? My Girl. If you were not moved, if you were not moved emotionally when she runs in and he's in the casket, mm-hmm. And she's like, "We have to go, Thomas. We have stuff to do." Blah blah blah. And she's like crying and telling him all of her plans for the summer for her best friend. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't do anything to your heart, fuck you. Fuck you.
And on that note, if you don't like the video that someone turned the bee death in My Girl and set it to the Mentos music, if you can't appreciate that, I don't think we can be
that's
friends.
That's hilarious. It's I didn't amazing. Even know that was an option.
But, well, hold on, though. We're getting away from what's a deal breaker movie and what's like a scene from a movie that moved you.
That's true, because wasn't that
good. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to watch all of My Girl again, but I definitely would not deny that, man, okay. That scene at the end, that's a dagger.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know if I'd want to like sit through that whole movie again.
That's a good point. All right, that's fair. So that, but A League of Their Own, I will
That's a great movie.
The whole ride. The whole ride from beginning to end. Fucking Kit. She had a mind of her own.
All right, Brendan. Any deal? Are you going Goodfellas?
I'm going to go Goodfellas. I mean, it's just so watchable. I'm so not the type to watch a movie. It drives me nuts to watch a movie on cable and have ads interrupt it and not hear all the swearing and all that kind of stuff. But or even on HBO coming in the middle of a movie, that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But that's like one of the few movies that I can watch whenever.
Yeah, you see it and you got to end up watching
it. That's a good point. That's a good point. No matter how far it is. And even, you're right, TNT, I'll watch the shit out of it on TNT.
Yeah, to me, it just feels like the most watchable movie. There's no part where it lags. It's always, it's just so good.
Yeah. All right, so the other big story, this is the top story of the day. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys had a chance to catch up with the kid and the drone. We may or may not have gotten
it. Oh, I think it's the kid who got kicked out of Russia for having a huge dong?
No, not that one.
What?
Did you not hear about or something like that?
No, he got charged as an adult because they used his genital. They decided that he was of age because his dick was big or something like that.
They have to be able to reverse that though, right? Like if you have a small penis, you should be charged as a juvenile.
Right, exactly.
Like, his lawyer I can
get away with murder my whole life.
His lawyer should just shove him in a pool.
All right, so you guys can gather around and watch. The listeners aren't going to be able to hear this, but it's pretty good audio, I think, nonetheless.
Can you set the scene?
Well, there. I'll read the news story first, I guess. It all started with a teen, Austin Hofwout, it's like Hauguhwout. It all started when a teen, Austin Hofwout, was using a remote-controlled aircraft with a camera attached to it to film beachgoers while hovering overhead. Since it's a public area, it's all perfectly legal to photograph people, but it made one woman, Andrea Mears, uncomfortable. That's when she says she asked him what he was doing, and he began to fumble with his equipment. In the video, you see my arm go out like this because he has a cell phone in his hand, and that's when he punches me in the back of the head and grabs me by the hair, said Mears. But Hofwout has a different story. She was the one that attacked me, as you can see in the video. She took a swing at me, and I began falling to the ground. Anyway, here's the video, which has some pretty fantastic audio.
I'm pretty excited about this. Oh, my friend was listening to this today. Yeah.
Stop. Stop.
Is this your property?
Stop. This guy is taking pictures and trying to upload them from a camera. Can you guys get here? At Hammonasset at Middle Beach. He's taking pictures of people on the beach with a helicopter plane. Yeah, can you guys hurry? I already talked to them. Just come. Yeah, stop. I'm at Middle Beach.
Cops like, why don't you
get
just talk
some
to
people
you?
Here?
You're assaulting me, you ass wife!
Yeah, that's my little tremor.
He's got her in a leg lock or something.
What? Yeah, you want to take pictures?
Oh shit!
Fish hooking him.
Oh man,
what a psycho!
This is not how I thought this was.
Yeah,
gonna
you're
go.
Gonna see how it feels when police come. Now let go of me.
If you weren't assaulting me, I wouldn't be touching you.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be taking pictures of people. On the beach!
Oh my god.
You wanna stop assaulting me? Get off of me!
I'm gonna beat your ass, you little mother.
Can someone call the cops? I'm being assaulted! Help! Wanna stop?
No.
Please get off of me.
Oh,
Oh, man. She fucking throttled him.
I like her so much better than him.
Yeah, me too.
Before we even start the dialogue, she rules. That guy sucks.
So, of course, this has become, you know, the internet's number one. First of all, like, everything about that video is perfect.
Yeah.
Stop assaulting me, you asswife. And then she says, she calls him a little pervert.
Yeah, you're taking pictures, you little pervert.
And then all the sounds.
Yeah.
It actually kind of reminds me of, we were at my bachelor party last weekend, and we were all really hungover, and we said we want to listen to Adam Sandler's They're All Gonna Laugh at You. And it kind of reminded me of, like, the severe beating of a high school Spanish teacher, like, with all the sound effects.
Yeah, like the flax. And
When she said, "I'm gonna beat your ass, you little motherfucker."
So now this kid has started an Indiegogo campaign to try and file a civil lawsuit against.
Weak,
this
weak.
Where's the story? Come on.
That you have to understand.
Why does he need to do a civil lawsuit? I mean, she wailed on him pretty hard. I'm sure he can get her in trouble.
Yeah, I think she already went to. She got arrested. I don't think she got charged with anything.
I don't think she should be arrested. Come on, man. I think for one,
there used to be a whole story on this.
You can't get mad at her. I understand her. Listen, I know it's in public and you can do that, but you have to know what that opens you to. People don't want to be recorded random. You don't know her. What the fuck makes you think you can take pictures of her and not suffer any consequences?
Well, he's like, oh, I was just taking pictures of the beach. And, like, maybe that's true, but also there's people on the beach that probably think it's weird to have your loud-ass drone flying over.
Yeah, and what the fuck are you doing, you little creep? You went on the beach with your remote-control airplane to take pictures of people? Like, fucking fuck you.
This has, of course, provoked the men's rights awareness community.
Oh, shut the God. Fuck
here's, this is a, this is a, I don't think this is a men's rights site, but it's very much in that vein. From everyjoe.com, why Andrea Mears should go to prison.
Prison.
An unprovoked attack perpetrated by Andrea Mears got the woman from Westbrook, Connecticut arrested. And honestly, she should be locked up for a long time. She beat up an innocent man who was flying a drone at a Hammonasset beach in the city of Madison. Look down below to see 9 pictures of Andrea Mears. They, like, you know, found her Facebook and all that. See 9 pictures of Andrea Mears, who was charged with third-degree assault and disruption of peace. Unfortunately for mankind, both of those are misdemeanors.
Wait,
so it's
do they say mankind like
yes.
the shitty?
Oh, fuck off. Oh,
fuck these dudes.
Wait, what do you mean, like what?
Like just mankind. Like
I think they
separate
just,
from womankind?
I think they just mean humanity. But
these
I'm not
guys
sure.
are still douchebags. No.
So it's unlikely she'll face more than simply a slap on the wrist. In a video that went viral today, you can hear her accusing an unidentified man of filming people at the beach with his drone. The problem, that's perfectly legal. She went on some sort of feminist vigilantist rampage without any cause. If this was a man assaulting a woman, he'd be thrown in jail. Shouldn't the same thing apply to her?
If feminists are getting annoying, men's rights activists are getting 100 times more so. Everything about that.
First of all, even if she did like attack him unprovoked or whatever. First of all, even if she attacked him unprovoked, it's not like he fucking got his face caved in or something. Like, she gave him a couple, like, you know.
He got embarrassed.
She gave him a couple medium slaps and, like, ripped his shirt.
And I'm going to beat your ass, motherfucker, is now a feminist rant? That's what that is?
Yeah.
She went on a feminist rant.
So now he has an Indiegogo campaign, this kid, called Civil Lawsuit Against Andrea Mears. It just says, on May 12th, 2014, I had been assaulted by Andrea Mears at Hammonasset State Park in Madison, Connecticut. She then lied to the police about the incident.
Man.
Please do not donate to this campaign as of right now. I will provide an explanation soon.
So he immediately knew that he wanted to get some money. He just doesn't know why yet.
I guess.
Oh, man.
I just... All right, so
it's a little weasel.
Even if you got attacked unprovoked, which I don't think is true, like, because she was calling the cops and she was not attacking him until something happened that you couldn't see behind the camera.
Yeah.
Like I think she, like, you know, grabbed his camera and he probably pulled her hair or something and then she beat his ass.
I think this kid's a little weasel through and through.
Also, If you get hit by a girl and you immediately are like trying to file a civil suit, how about you just grow up and take a lump and be okay with that?
Man, I've had dudes beat me up that I didn't call the cops on.
Yeah.
like you fucking, do you really want other people to see this video? Like, if I was that kid, I would want this buried as deep as possible.
It's like the Dumb and Dumber thing. There's that weird sense of entitlement where it's like, I want to see the damn same movie over and over again, and screw you if you just... And this guy's like, she beat me up and I deserve something for it. And it's like, how about
you just- took your toy to the beach and you were trying to perv on this mom, and then she caught you and beat you up. Just, you got to take that,
man. Yeah, the system works.
Yeah, you got to take that out, dude. You got to take that out. Fucking, and those guys saying she should go to prison for a while. Do they know what going to prison is? Do they know what that fucking means?
I think
for a long time. They're just like,
if this was a man attacking a woman, what would this be like? And you're like, well, it's not a man attacking a woman. Yeah. So
also,
if
it was a man attacking a woman to that same extent, he'd probably, I don't know, spend the night in jail. And
also, you know, like, I bet you there was a crowd.
You wouldn't fucking go to prison for like tearing a woman's shirt and like hitting her not very hard a couple times.
Yeah, like there's still.
So your double standard argument is like out the window.
Yeah.
And just if it was, I don't want a woman flying around taking weird pictures of me and my family at the beach either. I don't want anybody doing that. Like, yeah. I totally understand where she's coming. This kid's everything that's wrong with people. Like, fuck this kid. What?
I would have let it go if he wasn't so up in arms about getting slapped a couple times.
And the Indiegogo came up today.
If I was 13 and I had a drone and shit, I would probably be using it to spy on chicks at the
you
beach.
You would be using it to perv, which is
I was doing
what?
That with binoculars when I was 13.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You were actually like not like in a funny
no
callback like to the 90s way.
No, literally it would yeah.
All right. I don't.
I was 13, man.
If a girl had beat you up, you would have had it coming.
Exactly. I wouldn't have cried about it.
No, you can't. You can't.
I would have said, all right, I got caught looking at some boobs, and all right, I got slapped. That's the risk you run. That's the price. That's the sacrifice you're willing to make.
No risk, no reward. Fortune favors the bold.
That's what I'm saying. He needs to learn that now before he gets too long in the tooth, long in life.
I can't believe anybody would have things.
I mean, if this was your, if this was your kid,
if it was my kid, I'd be like, yeah, you're an asshole. I wouldn't press charges against her. I would not think my son should maybe get in that much trouble. I don't think any of them should get in any trouble. It's just a funny thing that happened on the beach one day.
You're ruining this hilarious video.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to know the backstory. Teenager. I just want to see you get hit again.
Come on, you little, give up, you little one. Perv. And then he leg locks her, and then there's like the silly cell phone ring in there. Yeah. It's just so beautiful on every level.
I wouldn't be touching you if you weren't assaulting me.
Stop assaulting
me. Pull your leg out.
Yeah, he's going to be like, I'm choking on my retainer.
Oh, man. That's the that kid is stupid. How old is he?
What does it say in this news story? Where does it say?
If he's like 24, I'm
no, I think he's like 15 or something. I don't know. I don't want to look it up at this point. So far gone.
I feel like something happened with the camera for her to say pervert.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And
even if he was
failing,
just,
that
he's not doing like a 20-foot crane shot with that thing.
Yeah,
he's not,
like she wanted to sunbathe topless, and he swooped in or something weird.
Yeah,
like,
and failing that, I'm pretty sure she didn't just start wailing on him just because. I almost guarantee there was like some shoving or some shit that you can't see behind the camera.
Yeah, definitely.
That.
I don't.
She didn't she didn't walk up and try to fish hook him. That was like.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't. Yeah.
First of all, is there a more comedic fight move than trying to fish hook someone?
And then she fish hooked him and said, "Yeah, yeah, you want to take pictures now? That's so good."
When I was a bouncer, we kicked a guy out, and our front door had like these two really large handles on either side, and it was propped open. And so we're like, we just kind of escorted him to the front. He's like, well, I ain't leaving. And I was like, well, you got to go. And he grabs like the two large handles. And the guy who was working the door was like, 5'8", former Marine. He was like, you know, 130 pounds. But he was just like, he was so funny because he was just such a like little Napoleon complex guy. Yeah. And he jabs his thumb right under his ear. And then the guy goes, ah. And as soon as he opens his mouth, he just puts two fingers in there. So he's holding on to both handles with his head cranked all the way back, getting fishhooked by this little tiny guy just going, ah! And I think my brother's like, let go, man.
I feel like a fishhook's a really dangerous move because I'd be worried about getting my fingers bitten.
Not even fish, it, not bitten because it's pulling it out.
You gotta maintain tension.
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
But it's just like, if you're like, if you're somewhat of a strong person, that's it. I would
give him the Joker or the Ichi the Killer.
Yeah, yeah. Like I wouldn't fish
or the
person.
Stitches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't know how old he is, but the original news report from NBC calls him a man.
So he's 18, 19.
Well, they referred him as a teenage boy and as a man. So I don't know.
So he could be like 17.
Usually you only use man AP style. You only use man if he's 18. Right. But then they say teenage boy. I don't know. Probably 18.
Probably.
That's even worse if you're 18 and then you're crying about it.
I feel like that's the issue with everything having cameras now. Is this should have been an issue that nobody ever knew about.
Right.
We shouldn't. I mean, granted, it's so.
No one's
hilarious.
Ever dealt with the legality of someone having a fucking camera drone before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that's new. That's a new thing.
It's like he could have just been taking vistas of the beach, or he could have been a cheeky boob looker, you know?
He was a cheeky boob looker for sure.
I mean, I just assume, I feel like I'm projecting because that's.
No, look at him. He's a skinny, he's a tiny guy who got beat up by a lady on the beach. I don't think that guy was looking at a lot of boobs in his personal life.
Yeah, the whole men's rights.
He always ends up getting assaulted every time.
He called her an asswipe. I doubt he's pulling many chicks.
That's not
the initial reaction of like a smooth ass dude.
Yeah. No smooth operator.
Stop assaulting me, you asswipe.
You know, it's like someone's initial reaction in the heat of the moment kind of tells you a lot about him. And the fact that he called her an asswipe.
That's his go-to. It's right in the head, the quiver. Yeah. And the asswipe was the first thing he pulled out. I love that.
That guy.
Probably George Clooney. It's not going to happen.
No.
I feel like that video and shirt, he's not going to see any more boobs for a while either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the whole premise of the men's rights is like, well, shouldn't you be just as mad that a girl beat up a dude and blah, blah. I'm like, no, I kind of still think it's kind of funny. Right. I'm sorry.
Also, don't you think it's bullshit that girls won't have sex with me?
Yeah. I think that's where it's all coming from at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
I should be able to have a beard as big as I want, and I should have sex with attractive women. Yeah. I think those guys are just men's rights activists are idiots.
Yeah, if you can't
I've never
enjoy,
heard a valid point. I've wanted to.
If you can't
I'm
enjoy
a man. That sounds great. We could get more rights than we get. I didn't even know that was a possibility. I looked into it. It's fucking retarded. Like, I'm all for more rights for everybody, but those guys just crying all the time. And they're always guys you don't want to hang out with. You ever seen them at rallies and shit?
There's a large, I think we said this before, but there's like a large crossover with fedora wearing and vaping as well.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yes.
That's almost like a single circle Venn diagram of men's rights activists, fedora wearers, and vapers.
It's every dude who fucked up your big Montana at Arby's. That's the core of the men's rights activist movement.
A lot of angry Ron Paul voters. Anybody's got a lot of TCOT hashtags. There's a lot of crossover there. So, PCU that I made you guys watch.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to grab a beer for this. That was terrible. That movie was a piece of crap university. Sorry.
Oh,
I had to do it. I had
snap.
To do it. I had to do it.
See, I don't, you know, I won't say it's a good movie. It's not. It's a bad movie. But I will say there are some interesting things about it.
Go on.
So
do tell.
Every college movie makes college seem like it's just this one long fucking awesome beer commercial orgy. And as someone who didn't go to a college like that, I kind of respected the premise that college was kind of shitty. And
I like that. We were talking about that. I think that's cool because it is all like even all the college movies are just college is awesome.
Yeah.
There's one guy who's just like, I want to live here forever.
Yeah.
And but they still had that movie and that guy at PCU. Jeremy Piven was supposed to be older, right?
That was my guess.
He said something about his third sophomore year. Yeah. So there were some funny lines in that. There were some funny lines. It dragged a lot and it left a lot to be desired in execution, I will say.
Yeah, it looks really cheap.
Yeah.
I feel like it was made as like super right wing propaganda.
I was kind of thinking that too, because
it's that funny.
Go ahead. There's like that one scene where she's like, "You bunch of mischief makers! You put speed bumps on the wheelchair ramps," and you're kind of like, you take a second, you're like, "How is that like? What, you really got one over on those entitled assholes? Yeah. Who think they should be able to move up in elevation."
Yeah, like those fucking cripples. Like yeah. I don't. Yeah, it came from a weird place.
But then there's also like the heels of the story are the Republicans. So it's like.
But also, isn't it also like the womenists aren't also they aren't like they're heels of that story, right?
Yeah,
like they were.
I
mean,
I like the idea that the womenists and the like Republican frat guys who are on the Mayflower Club or whatever are both like equally heels, but then like you said, like the wheelchair ramp stuff, like there's a lot of weird execution arrows where they're like, yeah, let's throw meat at the vegans, and you're like, eh.
Yeah, like that was completely like it went from like this cool thing of like let's go in there and get our chili burgers to like let's assault them with raw meat. Yeah. They didn't eat any chili burgers.
No, I know.
No chili burgers did they eat.
Yeah, there's like a weird mean-spiritedness to it, but like on the premise standpoint, like if they had done something better with, you know, where they have because I went to a college where it wasn't like big time. Everything's party, fun, Van Wilder. It was more like there's a bunch of assholes playing Frisbee and that people can't party, like, so they're stuck. In, like, there were some things in that movie that just rang so true going to public school and going to UCSD, basically.
Yeah, but I also felt like the cool kids were like the hippie ultimate Frisbee players. There were some of the cool... They were like maybe a level down from the pit denizens, but like... They were kind of allies of them, and they were the only people who weren't uptight about shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, kind of the heroes of the story, like the hippies who were playing ultimate frisbee. I'm having a hard time getting behind that.
Yeah, they were the only ones who seemed like they were having a decent time.
Yeah.
Because even the pit. I feel like I never understood throughout that movie whether or not the people at the pit were generally well liked. Or were they this weird offshoot? No,
they're Animal House of the 90s, basically.
That was the point.
I think so. I mean, I think it's Animal House of the 90s, but they're trying to update it to where... Which is another thing I actually like about it, is that I think it's this hilarious time capsule where the whole movie takes place like inside an Ugly Kid Joe video. Where like everything is like that weird... It's like in between... It's sort of like the World War One era, but it's like the weird crossover between eras, between the 80s and the 90s.
Sure. Where nobody knew what... He was tucking in his t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, then the coolest guy is this guy who's 5'6" and wears like a green t-shirt tucked into like his dad jeans.
A lot of posturing, bro. Jeremy Piven
He's wearing like a Stevie Ray Vaughan belt. It's got like the... Like metal tips on it and whatnot.
Yeah, like, and he like nobody seemed to take him really that seriously, right? Yeah. Like that. Yeah, that movie.
That's what I think is great about it. Is it's like this weird cultural.
It is very
era.
Strange, and then, like the music's all kind of like funk metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because like I said, it's ugly.
Like
kid,
George like, Clinton came at the end.
Steve Vai.
I saw that did the music.
The score, yeah.
Well, like the Ugly Kid Joe song, it has like a metal guitar solo, but then it's got like a funk breakdown and a record scratch, and like a funk. It's like that era where people didn't really know. It was just a mixture of things.
Yeah.
It was a weird time.
Also, it was very strange that like a bunch of college students in the early 90s are really into Parliament funk.
Yeah.
That like was, when that, was, that kid, when Jon Favreau, also weird, super weird that was Jon Favreau, when he didn't know, I was like, that's not that weird that Jon Favreau, like, right. I, like, you know what I mean? Like, when he, like, that's not that
it
weird.
It might have been weird in 94.
That he didn't know. Yeah.
So those people would have been born, you know, like, in, let's call it between 72 and 76 in 1994.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I guess.
But if they were, like, suburbs kids and, like it's not that any, it's not that weird. I don't think it was that weird. Any time out of his time of fame, I don't think it would be that weird to not know who George
Clinton
is.
What was George Clinton's time of fame?
That's a hard to put. I'd say the 70s. Like P-Funk All-Stars, right?
I'd say it's got to be late 80s, right? Because
Atomic Dog. That's like the revamp, though. That was already
that's
like
when
his
he got
comeback.
Big, though, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't honestly I don't know either.
I don't know.
I like when he meets the girl and he's like, I'm just a dog, and he licks her hand.
Yeah. No explanation about that.
And she's like, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, rad. Thanks for playing my house.
I just love it because it's got like the Travis from Clueless thing where every cool kid's kind of like riding a skateboard, like Poochie right. the dog.
Well, so I was watching it with my buddy, and we noted that they only use those skateboards to commit crimes. They weren't riding them. They like broke into that car window. Mm-hmm. They stole that bar. Mm-hmm. Like that's what they were doing with the skateboards. Yeah.
Well, it's like the 80s were really preppy, and then the 90s were like they turned into grunge, but this was like in between that where it was kind of like it was like weird, cool, like Tony Hawk skate punk thing was good, where it's kind of counterculture, but not really.
And I think it's more grunge inspired than any kind of like.
Yeah, I think that was the whole idea is like, fuck the system. You gave out cigarettes on anti smoking days.
But grunge wasn't about that. Like, grunge was super PC.
Was it?
Dude, Eddie Vedder was writing like pro-choice on his arm, like at the fucking MTV
That's fair.
Unplugged and shit. Yeah.
This was like an issue that I thought I knew that people now deal with, like with young kids. I didn't even know it was like that. I didn't even know that was an issue at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, and now I think about it, like it makes sense. Like everybody was always making jokes about Save the Whales and stuff.
Did you notice that the drummer for the band, not George Clinton, but the drummer for like the band in the pit, is the guy who's the CEO of Hooli on Silicon Valley?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't. Yeah. That's funny.
He's also, the guy's been to so many things.
The Hooli guy, not the, yeah, okay.
Yeah, the Hooli guy.
Isn't he one of Dr. Cocteau's assistants in Demolition Man also?
Oh man, it's been a long time since I've seen that.
I mean, dude, that movie's great, but I haven't.
Yeah,
I think but I was also, like in eighth grade last time I saw it.
Well, first of all, I think George Clinton was just like the thing that they could agree on was cool. Like it was really hard in '94. They wanted a band that was cool, and it was really hard.
But also that they could get on. For this piece of shit.
Movie. Well, that too.
Like,
but like they wanted something that was cool, that wasn't too hip hop, that like wasn't too grunge. They should have got Ugly Kid Joe, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. That movie, the pace.
They should have gotten Temple of the Dog.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is. There's a temple. I don't know.
I don't mind stealing bread.
I'm going hungry.
From the miles of Duggardale. That's the underbite. That's the origin of underbite scene.
That's right.
They started it. Oh, that was a bad scene. I didn't like the pacing of this movie either.
The pacing was terrible. It was really boring paced.
So terrible. Like, they never established anything really. Like, it was like the kid just got there, and now you're running from a bunch of people.
It was like a lull followed by a chase scene.
Yeah, over and over. They never really established what the pit was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just like, hey, you're here. I'm going to pawn you off on all these people so I can introduce you to these characters. Let's throw meat at these hippies. Run, run, run. Like,
and then there was like the
love interest angle is really painful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so weak, right?
It was so crowbarred where she's like, of course she likes the pre-frosh for some reason. And
well,
like,
no, I was talking about Jeremy Piven and the Womanist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that was even worse.
It didn't make Mr. any Pokey. Sense.
Yeah. No, it didn't make any sense.
Like, why they were attracted to each other was beyond me.
Right. She wears boxer briefs now when she plays Ultimate Frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get that. That's a range of motion situation.
But I love the idea that Jeremy Piven was clearly going bald in 94.
Yeah.
And 20 years later, somehow has more hair than he did then.
By the way, I think it says something about your movie when it's 80 minutes long and you're like, oh, God, when's this over?
I was really done long. At 30, dude.
Yeah.
It does feel really long.
It just kept going.
So the people, black guy with
people fucking swear by that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I think if you went to, because you went to San Diego State where it was more like Van Wilder.
Yeah, I was going to say I did go to a beer commercial college.
UCSD was definitely more like the PCU college where it was like you get really in trouble for any sort of partying. Like most people are hanging out in their dorm rooms, either like LAN partying or going to play Ultimate Frisbee or doing these weird.
LAN parties were like those video game jams, right?
Yeah, where you just like hook up.
20
like,
computers.
Everybody in my dorm would stay up till like 4 in the morning, but they wouldn't do anything except play video games. And it was very much one of those schools where you can major in cereal as long as you can bullshit well.
Yeah, like,
there was
that
a couple
was
telling very very telling lines that I thought were good in it. But so the black guy with the glasses, right? Remember when he was on a show with Ted Danson?
Becker.
Becker.
He was the cool friend on. Was he was blind.
Was he blind? I can never figure it out that he was blind because every single role he had those same sunglasses on.
he had the John Lennon glasses.
He had the sunglasses on in this.
Yeah, he was blind in Becker.
Yeah.
And then this movie, he was just like a foil for Jeremy Piven. Was Jeremy Piven the main character? Was the kid supposed to be the main character?
Jeremy Piven was Chevy Chase, and the little kid was the little kid in Caddyshack. I think that's okay.
Was Danny.
Yeah, Danny.
Okay, it just was so poorly done.
Yeah,
it like didn't seem like that wasn't a movie. It was like an independent movie, right? But they got David Spade though,
mm-hmm.
playing the same character he always does.
I think the guy from Becker was there to make. To make the pit crew seem like inclusive and countercultural and not just like a bunch of dickhead white guys.
Yeah, because those white guys were saying some fucked up shit.
If it was just a bunch of white guys that threw meat at the vegans, you'd be like, I don't know if I'm on board with it. Like a bunch of white guys that like put speed bumps on the.
But then the Mayflower guys, it was just like they said something funny. Like David Spade's like, yeah, this place is crazy. And then he just said some ridiculous shit. He was like, we have homosexuals on the football team and minorities in student office. This place is going crazy. And you're like, whoa. Like those were hard lines. Thought
his lines were pretty good because they were like, they're actually sound like what that guy might have said in real life.
But I think it could have been a little more clever.
Like, oh, yeah. Again.
Who wrote this
movie? I think there was something there, but it lacked in execution. Actually, Zach Penn was one of the writers, and he's written like a bunch of stuff. He's written
that
he wrote a couple of the X-Men movies. He wrote The Incredible Hulk. He wrote
which one?
The
it was Eric Bana.
Eric Bana one. The other one.
Ed Norton.
He co-wrote The Avengers. He wrote X-Men: Last Stand, Fantastic Four, Elektra. X2, Behind Enemy Lines, Inspector Gadget, and Last Action Hero.
There you go.
Which is way underrated.
Yeah.
As I will go to my grave saying.
Is that a deal breaker movie for you?
No, I just feel like it got unfairly dissed. I think it's pretty.
Not to get too serious, but it's also kind of interesting where they were sort of trying to take this playful swipe at politically correct culture. And I remember at one point, granted, I was a 14-year-old dickhead, sort of like. Thinking that I was funny, give those guys the what for. But now I think the whole idea of attacking PC culture has shifted over to the whole PC thing, black people can say the N-word, but I can't. It's like it's taken on a much different meaning than it.
It definitely got a lot more sinister than it started.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's like back then, I feel like if someone would say, I'm not into PC. I get it more than now.
Right, right.
But the problem is I'm not into PC in certain aspects. It got too broad.
Yes, but now...
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. But now I'm not into PC means like I don't think black people should have rights.
Yeah. I'm a men's rights activist.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm saying...
I'm not into being PC is like I'm going to go yell rape jokes at women.
Yeah, I think all women who don't have sex with me should go to prison for a long time.
That's why I think that there's something there where I think that there was an attempt to like make fun of PC culture while also being like, oh, but we're not like the... we're not like the David Spade Blue Blazer guys,
which is noble.
Either. They
noble.
Didn't execute it very well.
They
yeah.
did,
but I think they tried.
Yeah, and I think it's a good try. I think it's a good concept, just gone not that well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That happens, especially with comedies.
I think we can all agree on that. Then
Vince kind of liked it. Dave and I hated it.
I hated it. It was a dumb
I didn't kind of like it. I just I think it's interesting to talk about because it's a movie that exists in this weird. This really weird time that's sort of like an island all by it. Like nobody remembers it. Also, it's directed by Harry Ellis from Die Hard.
Really? That's strange. Strange. I still don't understand how they got David Spade in it. Because this is post SNL, right?
Or it was right at the end.
Okay, so he was. Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Was this like a hit, like in theaters?
No. No.
For an extended, was it a straight to video type of situation?
I think I remember wanting to see it, and it was out of the theaters before I could go.
Okay.
So it lasted for like 2 weeks.
I never saw it until I was in college.
That makes sense. That makes sense that it was that kind of a like.
The film received mixed reviews, currently holding a 47%. Roger Ebert said the film begins with a fantastic premise, but immediately loses faith in it. With a budget of $8 million, it grossed $2.1 on opening weekend, contributing to a final domestic of $4.3 million. So, no, it did not do very well.
Yikes.
Again, anyway. It was bad. It was, yeah, it wasn't that well done.
Yeah.
It was a good idea.
It was a good, it was an interesting premise.
They should reboot it. I'd watch the PCU reboot.
Another interesting college movie that doesn't quite hold up in the end, but Art School Confidential. Like, if you've ever been an art major,
that movie.
It's kind of amazing.
Were you an art major?
Yeah. Well, film was like in the visual arts department at my school. So yeah.
I did not know that. I don't know why I thought you were just like econ. I don't know what I thought.
No.
You continue to surprise me.
Yeah, I'm full of surprises. All right, we got some questions from the readers. If you guys are ready. You guys ready to give some advice?
I'm ready.
I mean, these guys, you guys give some good advice.
I think so.
If I was taking life advice, I'd be like, "Hey, David Borey, let me know what you think about this." All right.
Pepperoni.
That's good advice. It's all, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Nope. You know, I'm going to say sausage, so I'm going to go ahead and overrule you there.
You're going to get have a heart attack.
All right. Hey, guys. I was wondering if you could chime in on a dilemma myself and some surrounding coworkers find ourselves in. Like all modern offices, we have a communicator / instant messenger app that allows people to chat with each other. The girl guy next to me have this high school grade sexual tension built up where they chat all day and then validate each other's messages with audible giggles. As you can imagine, it's like listening to a laugh tennis match where each person's giggle grows stronger and more animated, climaxing with this asshat's self-satisfied grin. Sometimes he bucks back and forth in his seat like he is violently coming. To set the stage, the girl sounds like an electric car with the engine stuck in park, soft, repetitive humming, and the guy has this over-the-top Woody Woodpecker laugh. Every time this pain mating ritual takes place, we all groan. Anyway, I'm emailing to ask if any of you have ever been in similar situations. All solutions that leverage societal norms, throat clearing, eye rolling, etc., have fallen on deaf ears. Should I tell them to just fuck quietly? Drunken confrontation at happy hour? Tell our manager? One time he said, "You must be really annoyed with us right now," and I told him yes because they were being fucking obnoxious. Even this hasn't changed anything.
Go to HR.
Yeah.
Oh man, the bar is so low for creating a case that you've fostered a hostile work environment. Oh man, send HR like 3 emails spaced like 3 months apart, and then if they don't do anything about it, man. Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know anything office culture. I was gonna say this guy maybe get your own office, sweetheart. Sounds like maybe you're upset you're not getting let in on the fun.
Maybe they're just as annoyed with your groans.
Yeah, maybe. Because, I guarantee you what the guy who's getting the message is doing, he's like, this guy rolling his eyes, never fucking got any pussy in his life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're that guy.
But how can he not be that guy at this point? He's kind of stuck being that guy.
Shouldn't you be working?
Man, if you're sitting next to two people in a cube and they're like giggling,
I have had that, like, in an office.
Neck.
Yeah, that's shitty. Cause like at my job, we had we couldn't send inter office emails because this girl was just sending naked pictures of herself.
Nice.
How did you communicate with each other?
It was a call center because I'm a piece of shit. You put your phone in wrap and then you go to the person and talk to them.
Huh.
Wait till their call's over.
Interesting.
I had an inter office romance where I was that person. Like
you were that guy.
We were far enough away and I don't think we were like audibly giggling, but we definitely spent all day like I am flirting, and then we dated for a while, and then I like sort of had to, she confronted me about not calling her anymore at work, and I had to like spend a whole day having, like, imagine being stuck at work with the person after you tell them that you don't want to like hang out with them anymore.
Yeah.
Oh man, it was a terrible work day.
Yeah, you can't do that. I don't understand why people date people at work.
Yeah, well, because they're cute.
I never even hung out with and people at work. I guess I just don't. I've never even. Never gone.
I feel like half the people I know that are married either met in college or at work.
Really?
Like, people are like, "Oh, you can never have an office romance." I'm like, I feel like most of the people that I know met someone. Maybe they're not working in the same place now, or they weren't in the same division, but
usually, they met.
But there's, yeah,
it makes sense. It's just like the, I was wondering because he said it's this typical high school, but that's every social situation. I don't ever understand when people are like, it's just like that's what everything is. Every social situation has the cool guy and the nerd and the whore and like that's and the stoner.
We're
that's
hierarchical. That's how it works, man.
Yeah, that's every single social.
You guys ever been to prison? It's just like high school.
Yeah, yeah. I was the prison nerd. Didn't get a lot of fun. That's didn't like get when, time on the chessboards.
Like when people say, oh, we got to do away with bullying. And you're like, I that's mean, good luck. Even, that's like a word. I guess that's a valiant.
It's coming from a good place.
It's coming from a good place.
It's coming from the right place. But it's just like, at some point, I mean, there are strong people and there are weak people. And the strong do survive, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how
thing, let's eliminate war. It's like, yeah. I mean, I don't think you can have any.
I'm all
like,
for it. You figure that out. Yeah. I will sign everything.
Yeah.
Of course.
So I don't want, you know, I didn't want to agree with Brendan's dime amount to HR, but I really can't think of a better solution. Because really the only options are you tell them to their face and they get mad at you, which you kind of have already done in a passive-aggressive way. And hasn't
but that's and that's disrespectful to you, guy, that he was like, you must be mad at us. And you were like, yeah, and they kept doing it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't respect you. I agree, man. I think HR, I've never told somebody to tell on somebody, but I will break that today.
Yeah.
Fucking tell on that guy.
Yeah. We're going to have to make an exception to our no snitching policy.
Yeah, just this one time.
We'll add
no snitching, but only on inter-office romance. Right.
We'll add one amendment to space law for this.
I think snitching is fine if no one's breaking a law, right? Like
maybe that's, you know what? Maybe, but then that's even more annoying. I'd rather you snitched on me for like selling stolen goods.
No, but you're not snitching because they're not getting in trouble. You are basically.
Won't they get in trouble?
No, they're not getting in trouble for laughing at each other. You are leveraging HR into saying, if you do not do something to remedy this, i.e. move me, because that's what they're going to do. It's the easiest situation. Then you can be
what
like,
if the company's not that big, though? What if it's like 10 people in a
this
small
is, this
office?
Is, talking to you is like power moves. I'm learning so much.
That's their job. They have to do that.
No, I.
But what I'm saying, like, what if it's a small company? Then what?
Just fucking move into the bathroom.
Yeah.
Or just tell them to knock it. They should. They
someone
should.
Would have to take them. Take them aside. And
knock
them
it off.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah. You know how annoying that is.
Yeah. 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 Really nobody wants to. Annoying. I don't want to think about love at work. Yeah. When I have normal jobs, not now.
Yeah. All right, another question. First time, long time. This last weekend, I went to a music festival in New York City. It was great. I smoked a bunch of weed and got drunk as fuck during the day and listened to good tunes. It was 3 days long. So by the time Sunday comes around, I've pretty much been drunk and stoned for 72 hours. I don't know about y'all, but I get horny as fuck when I drink and smoke for that long of a time. Lots of hot girls in mom-waisted jeans shorts didn't help the cause either. Don't judge me. I have a fetish. Fuck off. To the point, I'm at the last show of the entire festival on Sunday. Haven't really made a move on anyone because I just didn't take an opportunity. Until this really cute girl and her friend kind of pushes her way through me and my friend to get in front of us. She starts to dance and lightly brushes against me. It felt good. We dance for a bit, then she moves my hands up to her titties. Score. We keep dancing. We make out. She undoes her shorts and my middle finger is two knuckles deep in her pussy when she asks me what my name is. This is like a great penthouse letter so far. Perfect timing. I'm Tim Mike, I say, but I give her my real name. She tells me her name, then asks how old I am. Now this is where shit gets all fucked up. I'm 24, I explain. Then she looks at me and says something I can't understand. I ask her to repeat, and holy shit, you should have seen my face when she says I'm 17. I'm not lying, she said. I'm pretty much speechless at this point, so she takes a friend and leaves. I was 2 minutes from actually trying to stick my dick in this girl, and now my whole world is fucked. I don't know how you're going to do that at a concert, but whatever. I need your thoughts on this. Have any of you guys had a similar experience? Did I fuck up? Sadly, this was one of the hotter girls I've ever hooked up with, and it almost got me butt-fucked on Rikers Island.
I don't know if it almost got you butt-fucked on Rikers Island.
Couple steps in between there.
I'm going to say this, and this is not condoning that action, but that guy would have gotten away with having sex with that 17-year-old girl.
Also,
he shouldn't have, but had he done it and she'd have told him afterwards, he... You know what I mean? He didn't almost get caught.
Well, he was also in New York where the age of consent is 17, so.
So he doesn't even know that he could have.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't.
Blew it.
You know.
Let me just say this. I'm just going to keep it real, and I'm just going to throw it out there. and just kind of, you know, lay it down for you guys. Who the fuck goes to a music festival for 72 hours? Oh, my God.
17-year-olds.
Oh. He was getting drunk and stoned listening to sweet tunes.
That sounds awful.
It was a Vampire Weekend, he said, though. Ugh.
I like Vampire Weekend, but
he says the P.S. the band
played for 72 hours.
The band playing was Vampire Weekend, which, having listened to y'all talk about music before, I'm going to assume Vince doesn't listen to because they're from after 1994. Brendan thinks is gay. Brett doesn't understand because he's some type of mole person with mole sonic perception, and Ben might actually enjoy. I don't know.
I like him.
I like him. All right. I like, you know, I like their sort of their more singles songs, and I just wish that they would be more okay with rocking out. Like, they do the minimalist Calypso thing good, but you know what? Mm-hmm. Don't be allergic to a guitar, because they'd probably be pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Cousins is legit. I love that song.
Don't be allergic to a guitar. That's a cool thing to say to a band.
The indie bands are, like, so allergic to rocking nowadays. It's a shame.
Rock is good. I don't get that.
I don't either.
But this guy, 17-year-old girl, does he think he's developed a taste? I don't understand his issue. Kind of sounds like he got away with it.
I think he was just bragging.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
it was a brag question.
And you know what? I'm okay with that. It's a good brag.
Yeah, I mean,
at least tell us that kind of story.
I hooked up pretty regularly with a 19-year-old when I was like 24, and I felt bad about it, and that was legal. So I understand him being like...
You know, as a 33-year-old, I can't even imagine that being like that big of a deal anymore.
It's not like... I don't think so. We also don't know proximity to her 18th birthday. I sound like such a piece of shit.
You're trying to find every loophole.
I'm not even a loophole. It's just you guys were there, and she put herself in an adult situation, and she told you did the right thing.
You had a romantic finger-banging moment in the mosh pit.
Yeah, and then you did the right thing.
And you and your cousin.
I think you leave and no harm, no foul. I think you handled
finger-banging Mary Jane Rottencrotch through her pretty pink panties at the Vampire Weekend concert.
Did your football coach say that to you, too?
No, it's from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, that makes so much more. My football coach used to always, like, because offensive line, like, use your hip, like your fucking old Mary Jane Rottencrotch. That was his, like.
Yeah, you got to throw the hips.
Throw the hips in there. Compress that sled. It doesn't even stand up. Boy, you bad at football or whatever he said.
I'm sure football coaches and drill sergeants were probably saying that for 20 years before Full Metal Jacket, mm-hmm. and they're probably going to be saying it 20 years from now.
But. Yeah, well, Arlie Ermey actually was a drill instructor, so those were all authentic
lines. Yeah, that's his whole thing, right? Yeah. Hey, he calls himself Gunny, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Offensive lines. I get it.
I think I can't remember if I told this one, but one of the coolest stories I heard about that was I was at a wedding with one of my friends who was in the military for a very long time and now lives in D.C., so all the guys he hangs out with are ex-military as well. And the best story they told was one of them was working. He wasn't a drill instructor, but he's working with drill instructors. And Arlie Ermey showed up and was just like, you know, like walking around the base and getting a tour or something. And then he was like, hey, can I put on the hat? You know, like the flat hat that they wear. And he like put it on and went like, oh shit. And he's like, can I go yell at someone? Or, you know, something like that. And then it just goes and starts like dressing people down. And everyone else was kind of chuckling about it. Then one of them was like, this is like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And one of them was like, these kids are 18 years old. They have no fucking clue who this guy is.
Man.
Especially like fresh recruits.
They saw Saving Silverman or whatever.
God, he takes it to, it's an art form the way he insults people. Calls him grabastic. He turns grab ass into an adjective.
And just
sounds like
a
Jamaican word.
That maniacal
grabastic. Mr. Romantic, fantastic lover.
Oh, it's so good. All right,
Can we answer this guy's question? I think this
guy. You be a butty boy.
They have so many words for homosexuals. It's an issue.
I think we answer. I don't think there was much of a question there.
Yeah, he's fine.
The platoon of the boom bitty bye byes.
Tell that guy that he is okay. He didn't do anything wrong. Unless you have a taste for wanting to bang a bunch of 17-year-olds. I don't know why. Yeah. Also, you were getting really high and drunk for 3 days at a music festival and no other opportunity with the lady presented itself.
Yeah. Hey, not illegal. No one's throwing you in jail. Just no one's judging. Just keep smelling that
just
finger.
Just go brag to someone else.
Yeah, good for you. We all know you touched a vagina one time.
All right, you guys want to put this thing to bed?
Let's do it.
I know Brendan does.
Down it.
All right, David Gabori.
What's up?
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Where we follow you at?
At the G is Silent on Twitter, Instagram. At the G is Silent on Twitter.
Anything else to pump?
If you are in the San Francisco area, I am a new member of the Business SF, so you can catch me at the Darkroom Theater every Wednesday at 8 p.m.
Snap.
And I think I'm going on tour in a couple of months. It'll be on Twitter. I don't know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Emails fratcast@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google Voice?
Oh yeah, throw us a review on iTunes and Stitcher if you can. And the yes. Google Voice is 415-275-0030.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and until next week, good night and good chins.